if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Supreme Lord. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is how to make your assumptions and expectations work for you, and parting company with what you've outgrown. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the presence divine, which is yourself, without any admixture of illusion. You are an embodiment of unchanging, pristine, absolute truth, absolute purity, absolute divine wholeness, unfettered and boundless. You inhabit a field of awareness that is supremely blissful, peaceful, and limitless. And so each week we move our awareness into that. We focus and align with that intention to move more consistently into that place of awareness and recognition, because it's simply a recognizing of what we've always been and could never cease to be. There's no need to even become that. One is already that. It's moving the inner attention, the inner awareness, through focused intention, to that place where you can recognize that which is. So in a sense, it's a remembering, in the sense that you're putting arms and legs and presence into that state while you're here in the physical dimension. You're recalling. You're bringing yourself forward again and again into that place of recognition while you're in, seemingly, this human state in this third dimensional world. And that's called self-realization or God-realization or spacious presence or Rigpa. There's so many names. They all mean the same thing. It's moving into where you are that now. Not waiting for something outside yourself to change you magically. Most of these scenarios that we drum up are the delaying tactics of the ego mind, where a certain wave of ascension is supposed to happen at a certain time, a certain dimensional portal is supposed to open at a certain time, we're going to be raptured at a certain time. All of these things amount to a big nonsense. None of these things are factual. What is truth remains unchanged and doesn't need any imaginatory fantasy built up around it. We don't need to create more scenarios and storylines. That's just more logjam in our minds. However, many of us have come through these belief systems. Last seminar, we spoke about the fact that everything is exactly as we believe it is, that our beliefs form a habitual approach to life. And also, as we move through these different illusions, and most of us have participated in all of these various scenarios that are very popular in the New Age, or even within the various religious communities that we've been part of, we've been indoctrinated to believe that something's going to happen that's going to lift us off the world, get us out of here, while the rest of the world goes to hell in a handbasket, basically. That we're the chosen few that are going to be somehow supernaturally wrested from this world. And when you stop to think about it, how could you ever really derive joy if you knew for a fact that only a few chosen people were going to get saved, so to speak, and the rest were all going to suffer to a horrible scenario? What part of that belief system would any sane person really want to embrace? And thankfully, when you read the truth that comes through a pure consciousness that is totally God-realized, you realize that when a person moves into genuine God-realization, they see everything and everyone as them, as their own incarnation. And they see the perfection of each soul. And because of that, they recognize that all that we have taken to be the world, to be the outer reality, to be the way things are, is in fact an illusion. It's a distorted point of view that comes from a mind that has become mired in the falsity of separation from eternal goodness and wholeness and love. So it's the mind itself that causes a distortion that keeps us in a certain limited way of looking at ourselves and other people and life and other nations and other ideologies as if they were something in themselves that had to be dealt with. And it's only what we're looking through. What we're looking through, when we look through the egoic state, the egoic conditioned, limited, conceptual mind, when we look through that lens, everything looks distorted. And when that lens is cleared through the divine light flowing down to the top of your head, from that higher state of consciousness, and illumining the entirety of your field of cognition, all of a sudden, you see everything clearly. And this happens gradually for most of us. It can happen instantly in some cases. But for most, it seems to be a gradual upping of the light, like turning up the dimmer switch. And when that happens, we begin to see more clearly that we need to part company with many of the beliefs that we have fondly cherished and held on to, or maybe learned on our grandmother's knee or in nursery school or Sunday school, that simply doesn't resonate as truth for us anymore. And it's time to part company with what you've outgrown. And the things that we've outgrown have been useful at some point. They have been our helpers. No matter how they appeared into our scenarios and our lives, they were helpful because they gave us an experience. They helped us to balance an area or to bring a remedial adjustment in some scenario in which we were a participant. But at some point, they've served their purpose, and they become more of a fetter if we're not able to release them. So parting company, even when you're breaking up in a romantic situation, is a skill. It has to be a skill that is attended to with great consciousness, great awareness, great gratitude and recognition of what was given. If that's not the case, you will create karma, and that situation will simply reappear in another relationship, in another situation. You will meet it again and again and again, until you can embrace it with gratitude and release it with a clear heart. So, parting company with helpers along the way, the things that you've outgrown, could involve maybe some experience from your past. Say, for example, you might have been victimized in some way, or abused in some way, or mistreated or maligned in some way. And that's perhaps caused a trauma. And you keep revisiting it in your mind. Perhaps you've even used it to excuse some of your present limitations and phobias. But as you bring more enlightenment into your consciousness, you recognize, oh, I don't really need to keep revisiting and reanimating this scenario. Or maybe it's a belief that you've held for a long time. But again, with increased expansion of your awareness and broadening of your consciousness, you recognize all of a sudden, oh, that was something I bought into as part of church doctrine or theology, or something that I believed because some preacher preached it, or it came in my catechism, or it was just something that I grew up in parochial school being taught. But now as I study and expand my awareness, I realize, oh, that's not necessarily the way that I could be approaching this belief, this idea, this concept. There's a deeper dimension here. And so you're ready to part company with a lesser belief that perhaps was appropriate to the childhood of your spirituality. But now as you begin to mature more into the divine incarnation and the masterful self that you are, you can let that go. Maybe you've been loyal to a teacher, and all of a sudden you suddenly are aware that, wow, I actually need to go beyond what I've been taught here. I actually need to go beyond this. And so an ego would leave with attitude and create karma. So the mature spiritual way is to embrace and acknowledge and cherish what you've learned, what you've been taught, what has served as a rung on your ladder. But to also recognize that there's always a plus in spiritual development. There's always an et cetera with no period at the end. There's always more. Enlightenment is endless. So you may need to relieve yourself of many of these belief systems, these companions, these people you've looked to as authorities, these approaches and ways that you've cherished, but have now transcended to a broader understanding. Perhaps it's an attitude that no longer serves you, or a fear, a phobia, a limiting belief. Perhaps it's a relationship, a grievance. So if you want to bid them adieu, I would suggest that you might like to ask the Divine Spirit to show you what you need to send on its way. And then you softly, perhaps if you like, sing the mantra HU, H-U, just softly. Sing it a few times. HU, HU, HU. This brings you into an attunement with the highest divine aspect, the highest divine consciousness. And it clears your mind so that what you need to see shows up. It just drops into your awareness. And whatever it is, whatever it shows up, here's a little way that we could release it. Imagine, if you will, that you're standing on the bank of the ocean of love and mercy. Imagine how the water is glistening, like it does, you know, when the sun is shining on the surface. It comes alive with thousands of sparkling lights. And this is the infinite ocean, called in Sanskrit, Karuna Sagara, the ocean of mercy. And you've probably all seen people making little votive offerings into the river of the Ganges and in Varanasi, Benares in India. You've probably seen them release those little shrines with lights and perhaps the ashes of their loved ones or whatever on the river Ganges. So in a similar idea, see before you a beautiful raft that is now manifested right at the bank. A beautiful raft with flowers and it's just lovely. And this is where you can release those attitudes and states of consciousness and traumas and beliefs and whatever they may be that you would like to part company with. And just lovingly take each one and say, I want to thank you and acknowledge you for what you have helped me to learn and to understand and experience along my life's journey. I give you my blessing, and I wish you the very, very highest divine outcome. But we have to part company now. It's time that I release you to your greater good. And your greater good is to dissolve into the loving grace of God, or to be in the company of God. If it's a person that you're releasing, a relationship, you may want to see Jesus or Sai Baba or one of the masters that you love, maybe Mother Mary. You may want to see that person reaching out and taking the hand of the master and going with them. So if it's a person, you may want to use that process. But be sure you thank them, you acknowledge them, and you bless them. And allow them to go their way. If you've chosen the image of Jesus or one of the masters coming, you can see them walking down a beautiful pathway, or maybe walking on that water, maybe walking on that beautiful golden scintillating ocean of love and mercy. But whichever and however you wish to visualize this parting of the ways, allow these things to be released and placed on this lovely votive raft. And when you've placed everything you can think of there and you have made peace with all of it and you've seen the value and the lesson that each gave you, you see the raft gently flow off into this golden mist that's hovering over the water, and you see it dissolve into that perfect loving grace and mercy, so that the energy that went into that situation, whatever it is, has been reclaimed by love. And then it's appropriate to thank the Divine Spirit and to ask that the Divine Spirit now fill you in all the places where these outworn things had occupied attention and energy. And the best way to connect is to take a deep breath and breathe in God and breathe in that golden grace and fill your body, your subtle bodies, your mind, every part of your being with that divine grace. And now begins a new life at a new level. As you progress through your levels of awakening, you're decompressing from being squashed down in this human state. You begin to feel lighter and lighter, and the evidence that you are moving more into those higher states of consciousness is a deep sense of inner well-being. You begin to get more and more of an inner stillness, an inner feeling of solidarity and anchoring, a firm anchoring. The Bible uses the example of building your house of consciousness on solid rock, on the rock of your salvation. And the root word of salvation is salve, from the Latin, which simply means the return to wholeness. The return to wholeness is salvation. So it's the same thing, where you're returning your awareness to your original wholeness. So in terms of assumptions, I think we've probably all been told at some time in our lives not to make assumptions. And yet we all make assumptions all the time, because assumptions and our beliefs go hand in hand. And the same with expectations. Of course, we'll have expectations. I'll bet many of you, like myself, have even been told at some point not to expect too much, and that way you won't be disappointed. But really, the way you avoid disappointment is not to be attached to the outcome. It's where you put things in the light for the highest good, and you let them work themselves out, assuming that whatever works out is the highest good. And that is an assumption that will work for you. So the thing is, we do make assumptions and we do have expectations. And therefore, the task before us is to make our assumptions and expectations
work for us in manifesting the reality we are choosing to participate in and to inhabit. Assumptions and expectations mold that conglomerate of unconditioned potentiality into manifested form in our daily life, molded by our beliefs and our habits. So beliefs, habits, assumptions, expectations, this is a some operative mechanism that makes your life the way it is. So we are learning as we awaken more and more to make conscious choices as to what we want to come into agreement with, what we want to vivify with our attention, what we want to reinforce by the endowment of our power, our attention, our speech, our acknowledgement. All of that involves participating in that reality. So we become very choosy in what we want to participate with and lend our energy to. So what is that reality that we are to awaken within ourselves and become aware of? You know, the one that all enlightened ones refer to. So let's hear what the divine avatar, Satya Sai Baba, has to say about that. I'm going to share a few paragraphs from his book, Satya Sai Vahini, which means the stream of Satya Sai. This is from the chapter, The Inner Inquiry. Excuse me. And I read, all this will disappear and lose individuality with the emergence of jnana, the highest wisdom. You have to understand how this non-knowledge grew and by what means it can be destroyed. Centuries of inquiry have failed to unravel the secret. Where from did the cosmos originate? How did it emerge? If it had a personal cause, the inquiry could have succeeded. The cosmos is not such an object. The questions, how did it emerge? Wherefore did it originate? Are exactly on a par with the question, how did the serpent appear on the rope and cause all that terror? Only the rope exists there. The serpent was superimposed thereupon during dusk by the defective intellect of the onlooker. That is to say, on account of the illusion created by reasoning, in other words, ignorance, that was the basis for this misapprehension. God is the rope. Cosmos is the serpent superimposed on it by reason, afflicted by illusion. We cognize God as cosmos. We take one thing as another, so long as this affliction holds sway. Therefore, it is best to conclude that the cosmos is an object which originated in our own intellect and emerged out of the same faulty faculty. An object born of such a delusion and confirmed by only an infirm intellect can never be true. When the delusion goes, when the infirmity disappears, the cosmos, so caused, also disappears. Everyone has to acknowledge to himself this fact about himself. I am ignorant. He cannot escape making this declaration about himself. The conclusion set forth in all sacred texts and scriptures is that all this is God. Setting this aside, if the individual still claims that he is I, he is asserting that he is an ignorant person. A doubt may arise whether it is at all possible to forget oneself and believe that one is something else. We have already seen that the acceptance of illusion, truth polluted with untruth, is the sign of an ignorant person. In the dusk, falsehood is superimposed on truth. The serpent is visualized on the rope lying on the road. The delusion affects the consciousness and warps the intellect, so that they forget their genuine nature, which is ananda, or ecstatic delight. They impose on themselves the limitations of individuality and consider themselves as separate individuals. They welcome the belief that happiness is outside of them in the objective world, and they entangle themselves in samsara, the moving, changing, restless world. They suffer the twin blows of fate and fortune. Such persons are taught by the scriptures of the Vedas and other sacred texts to transform their lives through consistent endeavor for knowing and realizing the Atma. The protagonists of non-dualism, Advaita, are not engaged in proving that there is something named ignorance or ajnana. Such longings as constitute the individual, such as, I am not happy, I have no joy, I want this, I must earn that. These things are born of the attitude that arises out of ignorance. So if you seek to destroy the ignorance that separates and stultifies, this attitude must be transformed, and the conviction, I am the embodiment of happiness. I am the one who has realized that which I desire. That has to be cultivated. Bearing the burden of non-existent problems, kicking up dust in the confusion, tied helplessly to the wheel of birth and death, man curses himself in despair. The Advaitic non-dualistic texts arose in order to warn man against this ignorance and to arouse in him the wisdom that can save him from misery and wrongdoing. Truly speaking, we are ignorant so long as we feel we are in bondage. In fact, we have not been created. We are not limited or abridged or bound. The faith that has taken root, namely, there is a cosmos which contains me, along with other similar seekers of happiness. In that search, I meet joy and grief and encounter birth and death. So that is the fundamental ignorance. We become what our thoughts are. These thoughts on the validity of the objective world and the value of the joys derivable therefrom, though they emanate from ignorance, do shape us from within. The reason we are caught in this mold lies in the absence of four requisites: attention towards Advaitic gain or spiritual progress, steady faith, devotion, the grace of God. Even if one of these four is absent, man cannot experience the highest bliss of the Absolute. Our inquiry should not be directed to the obvious and the superficial. This line of inquiry will only mislead us into believing what is not true. It makes us forget that it is our mind that has generated this panorama of cosmic proportions and presented it to us as truth. So what happens is that we gradually decompress and awaken to this understanding. It's very gradual. In fact, if you don't check yourself periodically as to what you do believe and are operating on as assumptions and expectations, you may miss it. My teacher told me that many years ago, that if I didn't have the wit to look at where I was inwardly, I would go through all of these tremendous experiences of divine realization, but I wouldn't realize it. And he gave me the example of himself sitting on the chair. He said, I can believe I'm sitting on this chair, but I won't know I'm sitting on this chair if I stop and look and see that I'm sitting on this chair. So periodically, excuse me, put yourself up in your mind's eye and visualize yourself, scan yourself. Look at your aura. Look at yourself objectively, as if you were looking at another person, as if you, as counselors and teachers, were appraising somebody who had come to you for help. Say a person comes to you and they say, I really want to realize God. Would you please help me see where I'm stuck? Please help me see the things that I need to part company with that no longer serve me. And look at yourself as if you were that person. And that's being objective. That's seeing yourself from the balcony of higher awareness. And just notice what comes to your attention. There's no mistakes. Assume that what comes to your attention is what you need to be made aware of at this moment. This applies to things you overhear, you notice in others, things that catch your eye when you're on the road, traveling, everything that catches your attention is something that you are made to become aware of at that moment. So pay attention. Pay attention. Everything is speaking to you in a golden-tongued wisdom. Just for you. We live in our own universe. We have a divine scripture written on our innermost being, our consciousness, our heart. And everything that is part of our sensory intake is, you can assume, appropriate for us at that time. And that's why it's showing up. That's why you're hearing this particular seminar tonight. That's why everything shows up in your life, because it's meant to at that moment. And you can't miss what's for you, because it's going to find a way to get your attention. And it will do that. So pay attention, because the whole thing is rigged to lead you into the highest bliss imaginable. Everything's rigged to deliver you home to complete, mind-blowing, absolute, ecstatic joy and all-pervasive peace. And after all, isn't that what we all want? We all want to be happy. We all want to have peace. We've just been looking in wrong place for those things. But even that, you see, was part of the plan, because sometimes we have to look at where things cannot be found to realize they aren't there. Sometimes we're convinced that we're going to find what we want in a relationship or in more money or a better job or a career or fame or fortune or your dream house or whatever. And then when you have those things, it's not long before you're tired of them and you want something else, because that wasn't really what you wanted to begin with. You just didn't realize that what you really wanted was yourself, set free. And that's for you. You're going to have that. That is what you've already been given. So we're just finding ways to uncover it so that you can recognize that it's there. So Sai Baba has given us the four requisites necessary to experience the highest bliss of the Absolute. That is, to experience our own divine self, and thus to realize the truth beyond the illusion. And when I speak of God, know that God, Atma, your divine self, the Christ, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Divine Spirit, and life itself are all one. Those are all one. They're not separate things. They're one. Or truth, or love. You know, it's one. So the first thing he said that we need is attention. We need to pay attention and direct our attention towards spiritual realization. And that means using your life as a yogic practice, using your life as a waking meditation, using your life mindfully, paying attention. You know, many people are more involved in paying attention to the world and what other people are doing or what's on the news or what's going on the planet. and they really don't put much attention towards their spiritual realization. Perhaps they're not at that stage where they're ripe for that. Perhaps they need a few more incarnations before they get spiritually hungry. But I don't think very many of my listeners fall in that category, because I pretty much hit to the chase, you know, when it comes to spiritual life. Maybe you might be disappointed coming to hear the voice of the Ashtar Command and you get a lesson in Advaita, in God realization. But that's because people don't understand who the Ashtar Command is. We're not about spaceships. The Ashtar Command is consisting of very highly evolved, God-realized men and women, for the most part, that have outgrown everything taught on the planet Earth long ago. Long ago. So what you're going to hear from the members of the Ashtar Command, and the senior members, of which I'm one, of the Ashtar Command, is about awakening beyond the illusion. It's about God realization. Because nothing is going to happen on your planet to bring any kind of transformation unless it comes through the human consciousness. Everything that gets down on your planet has to be wrought through the human consciousness itself, through human hands and feet, human realization, human endeavor, and human endeavor. We are meant not to stay in the human state, but to transcend it into the higher state, which would be the state in which the masters already are living. Superhuman, if you will. Advanced human. Ultra-terrestrial human. Because, you know, we in the Ashtar Command are human in terms of how we look and so forth. But the message is about awakening beyond the illusion, not contributing more to the illusion. So that's the voice of the Ashtar Command. It's not about psychic things. It's not about UFOs. It's not about things that have to do with making, you know, creating more and more storyline and fantasy and all of that. So the second thing that Sai Baba says that we need as a requisite is steady faith. You know, it's sometimes people, if God doesn't do immediately what they expect or want or hope, they're ready to give it up. And so we must have steady faith. As Sai Baba said, no bumps and jumps. No faltering, doubting, wavering. The Bible says that a man that's unsteady in his mind, that's wavering, is unstable in all his ways. So don't have a vacillating, wavering mind. Be steady. Proceed steadfastly with faith. And faith always involves walking where you don't know where you're going. If you know where you're going, you don't need faith. And we're going into to levels of consciousness beyond the seen and the known. You've already seen and known what's here in this world. You're going beyond this world. So you have to develop new sight, new eyes, new ways of perceiving. And that is forged through faith. Faith actually becomes the light and the lamp unto your feet. You actually walk by faith and not by sight. And so steady faith is very, very important. Paying attention to your spiritual realization as your goal, as your focus, as your daily practice, and having steady faith. The third is devotion. Devotion is what makes you sit down every day to do your spiritual exercises, whether you feel like it or not. Devotion is what makes you love God and have gratitude towards God, even when you have the worst possible day. Or even incarnation. Sometimes our incarnations are very unpleasant because we have a lot of unfinished things that we need to work through and clear. We're not here to have pleasant incarnation. We're here to get through this school and graduate beyond this school. So the objective is not happiness here. The objective is to learn to be happy within yourself regardless of what happens in the outer world. So that you can be firmly on that rock of salvation, that rock of wholeness, all the time. So Baba says that real devotion is not crying or any negative state. It's seeing the all in the all that you see, of seeing that one divine spirit in and through everything. And basically, devotion is love of God. And you show that by the little ways that you live your life and how you prioritize the things of God in your life. That's where the devotion shows up. But devotion is not ritualistic. It's a state of consciousness. It's a state of humility and reverence and a kinship with all life. It's a reverencing and an appreciation of the beauties of nature, of the beauty of people, of the beauty of just being alive and being present on earth. Those are all attributes of devotion, which would translate as a love for God. Because if you don't love your fellow man, if you don't love the beauties of nature, how can you say you love God? One of the first signs that you're a mystic is that you are transported by the beauty all around you. You begin to see through the, instead of the ego, you begin to see through the higher consciousness, which is a very high state of appreciation and aliveness and a sensitivity to beauty. And then the fourth attribute that we need is the grace of God. In the Christian interpretation, grace is often described as God's unmerited favor towards us. And we are loved and we are blessed because we're divine. In actuality, we are God's single incarnation as the living Word made flesh, only in multiple forms. Much like the sun shining in multiple clay pots is one example sometimes given. The clay pot would be the body. But the shining of the Atma, the inner sun, the inner radiance is from the one Atma, the one divine spirit. So Sai Baba often speaks of grace, God's loving favor, which can be acquired by our steady spiritual effort and faith and devotion and love of God. So our efforts to awaken, realize the divine truth, live dharmic lives, do the right thing, cultivate selfless compassion. All of these efforts on our part constitute sadhana or spiritual practice. And this earns divine grace. So grace, according to Sai Baba, is earned through our sincere spiritual practice. And grace is where you take one step and God takes a thousand towards you. You make a little effort and God crowns your little efforts with total success. So grace is the factor that bridges all of our personal inadequacies through to perfect completion. And in the Bible it says that Christ is faithful to complete the good work that he has begun in us. That's grace. God is faithful to complete the good work that he's doing through us. The other thing that I would caution people about is to be responsible in media intake. Having responsible sensory intake about what goes into our eyes, ears, mouth, nose, all of our sensory organs constitutes, according to Sai Baba, every intake through our senses constitutes food, which goes into creating our thoughts and generating similar vibrations within us, which altogether form our consciousness. Very important that we put quality in if we want to have quality come out. So take a look at what you're feeding yourself on a daily diet. Consider what you watch on TV, what you read, what you put into your mind, what you spend focus of time and attention on as food. And then make your own appraisal of what kind of a diet you are feeding your consciousness and see if it's goal-fitting to the state of God-realization that most of us are aspiring to move more fully into. As far as assumptions, assume first and foremost that you are divine, indistinguishable from God, in your true nature. That what is true of God is true of you. That you are ever pure, whole, holy, free, boundless, everywhere present, all-knowing, all-powerful, pure love, wisdom, and creative intelligence. Assume, first and foremost, that about yourself. And part company with anything that is not that. Never badmouth yourself. Always speak what you would have to be true about yourself. Always. Second, assume that you already are and have present and available within your nature everything you desire and aspire to spiritually. You only need to move your awareness to that place of having that. And third, assume the best, most divine outcome is always taking place for you as you move through your life. Just have that attitude as you move through your life that everything is working together for good in your life. Because you love God, because you have an intention to awaken fully to your divinity. For example, you know, if delays occur, assume you're always in God's divine order and timing. Therefore, you can remain patient and calm and accepting when your flight is delayed or you are bumped from that particular flight. Or if you're delayed by traffic, or even seemingly get lost en route to someplace. I one time got lost on Sunset Boulevard, a place that I probably know as well as my backyard, in Hollywood. And I went around and around and around this block. But because I have this strong belief that I'm always on divine assignment, and wherever I am, it's meant to be, and there's a reason, I didn't get upset. I just kept going around and around and around the block. Pretty soon, I heard sirens and the police car came and a fire truck came and an ambulance came right around this area where I had been circling. And so I knew that I was there to hold the light and to place the light with the situation because we're pillars of light and wherever we travel, we are extending grace and mercy and light and salvation and assistance to people. Wherever we are, we're working the energy. We're working the grids. I could have prevented a murder by my just going around the block. I don't know what was going on there. I could have prevented maybe multiple accidents and misfortune happening to souls in that area just because I seemingly got lost and was going around the block. Many, many years I was on tour traveling throughout the United States doing workshops, and we would know every time we went through Chicago that we would have to add at least 3 hours to our itinerary because we would be used to clear the grids there. Perhaps because Chicago was based originally on the crime syndicate and the mob, there was a lot of negative energy there. It was really a bastion of crime. And so every time we would go to Chicago, we'd go around and around and around and around, and we just take forever to get in and out of that airport and in and out of that city itself. So realize that when you travel, wherever, by whatever means, that as grid workers, we're clearing the planetary grids. That's the energy lattice work that funds the collective consciousness on the planet. We're constantly clearing that. We're anchoring light by our presence. And just passing through an area or flying over it, we are extending grace to those people and places. It's a tremendous service. You don't begin and end with your body, your infinite light, your infinite love, your infinite grace. And wherever you pass in time and space, you're meant to be there, and there's no coincidence whatsoever. There's no happenstance. There's no error. There's no accident. Everything is rigged. Just assume that it's rigged for your highest divine outcome and good. So these assumptions align with the temporary, I would say, designation that we're operating as divine agents here in this world. as ones who extend divine grace, light, peace, and love wherever we happen to be at all times and places. So we're always on call. Wherever we are, we're on duty as divine emissaries of light. We have no off moments, no vacations. We're constantly being used as an inlet for greater light and grace and help and assistance to reach humanity. We are, if you will, the earth angels. We are the servants of God. So assume that whatever condition you find yourself in, that it's good for you. Sai Baba always advises us to say, this is good for me. Whatever it is, this is good for me. And be grateful and look for the pony under the pile, because there's sure to be one. Or look for the silver lining if you want to raise your eyes a bit there. So assume that wherever you are, whatever is taking place, that you're always in the right place, in the right condition for your most benevolent outcome and highest good. Assume that everything is a miracle and divinely orchestrated for ultimate good for you and everyone concerned. Assume there are no coincidences, no mistakes. This perfectly divine design tapestry of life is woven of pure love and unlimited divine miraculous outcroppings. Assume you are perfect, whole, and abundantly provided for always and forever. Assume you can relax, let go, and allow the divine to be the captain of your ship or the pilot of your spaceship, if you prefer. Assume you're already God-realized, liberated, that you're immortal and free. Assume the best for yourself and your loved ones, for humanity, for all sentient life forms and beings. You know, have faith in your children. Assume the best for them, too. Assume that everyone in your life, your children included, regardless of the outer out-picturing, are doing the very best that they know how, given their karma, their life choices, their script for this incarnation, and what they have available to work with as resources. Give them the benefit of the doubt that they are wise, ancient souls, and they know what they're doing. Something inside them, greater than their outer ego presentation, knows exactly how to maneuver them through their life to final bliss and realization. Have firm faith and assume that to be so with your children. And that way you will relieve them of the negative projections of worry and concern and trying to tell them what to do out of your own karmic field when they need to handle their lives out of their karmic field. You're not here to do it for them. You are there to support them in finding their way, just as you were supported in finding your way. So know that the whole of creation is divine. It's divinely orchestrated. And just assume that that's so. And be at peace with your life, however it shows up. Have that gratitude. And as for expectations, expect the best outcome for yourself, regardless of how that manifests. We're not here to be successful in the world. We're here to awaken beyond the need to be successful, beyond the need to have approval, beyond the need to have approbation and recognition in the world. We are not of this world. Just like Jesus, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And you, my followers, are not of this world. And he was a starseed, and we're a starseed. We're not of this world. We're not of this world. We come from great central sun star systems in the God realms, the imperishable star realms. That's where we come from, beyond time, space, and birth and death and reincarnation and karma. We come from beyond that. So expect that when doors close, it's to guide you to the right door that's meant for you to open. Expect a loving welcome wherever you're meant to be. Expect divine support and assistance is with you at all times and places and will always show up in the perfect timing through all kinds of agencies. Expect that you'll always be able to handle whatever shows up in your circumstances, for you were never given anything that you can't handle. Assume that life consists of experiences that you've elected in order to learn how to be God, to act, think, be, and do as God. So live divinely. Expect you will laugh heartily when you fully awaken and discover that this whole shebang has only been a dream. Expect that. So, I hope this has been helpful. It's time to close, so let's go out chanting Anahi Hu. Deep breath. Anahi Hu. Anahi Hu. Anahi Hu. Blessings and grace. Namaste.